Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio about Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, the looniest toon of all, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
And our producer, Andy Lara.
Hey-yo.
Drove here in his jeepney.
Oh, man, I wish I owned a jeepney. You know how cool that would be?
Man, I did not know about jeepneys. Today we have a guest, Russell, the Little Bricks Charity guy, who does great work with the Little Bricks Charity, visiting kids in hospitals and bringing them Lego sets to build and selling cool books and just great work. We talked to him a lot about his charity, the work that he does, Legos, building. We cover the gamut of things.
Setting a world record.
For walking on Legos. Lego. But one of the things specifically that he's working on, bless you, is you have a project working with, was it PhilFest? What was it called?
Yeah, it looks like PhilFest in Virginia. Like, probably it sounds like that's an organization, a Filipino organization there.
Where they make Lego or brick jeepneys.
Yeah, it looks like he made a brick set that's like a jeepney. There's limited... From the site website, there's like limited versions or amounts. There's only like 300 of them. And then that's going to be like a special fundraiser, I think, to support the work that they're doing paired with then his work. That
unbelievable work.
Really fun idea.
I didn't know what a jeepney was till 30 minutes ago when we talked. And now I'm obsessed.
Yeah, you got to listen.
It's
and find out more.
The U.S. left a ton of Jeeps and the Filipinos... And their very creative way said, let's cut these in half and make them bigger.
Yes.
And now they're like a staple of Filipino culture. They're great. Yeah. Really fun work. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was truly, you know, like I say in there, every once in a while, we just don't even know the guest at all. I mean, Russ, I'd seen him on TikTok and we connected there. He's got a bunch of followers and followed me and I'd followed back and was doing cool work. And so it was us getting to know him a little bit and, you know, his work, his fam. I literally didn't even know where the guy lived.
Yeah, his studio space is really cool,
too. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to, like, no, this is great talking to you, Russ, but could you, like, zoom in on some more of the stuff? I want to see some of the stuff back there. So hope you guys enjoy this episode with him. I have some upcoming tour dates. Let's see, based on when this comes out. Thank you, New York and Jersey. You guys were great. I think. I'm sure you were wonderful. But as we get into the new year for January, January 2nd through 4th, I'm going to be in Dallas. 9th through 11th, I'm going to be Houston. 27th at Charleston, South Carolina. And the 29th through 31st, I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. February, Boise, Salt Lake, Phoenix. March, Chicago, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. D.C., Everett, Tacoma. April, Philly, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Portland, Spokane, May, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville. It's a busy May, which is not great because May is our busiest season either. and June, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver. A couple more on sale coming soon. We got San Jose coming on for the fall. Eugene, there'll be a return trip to Eugene this summer. I don't know. There's other ones coming in, right?
Absolutely.
We'll figure it out.
I know.
How are you? You're sick.
We had our concert week for Claire.
Yeah.
She had a show at Balboa at December Nights, and then she did two concerts at her school Wednesday and Thursday night, and then we just kind of all, you know, sputtered out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever do that cute thing in your marriage in December where you're like, I'm going to set a night aside for us.
Yeah.
And then... Your kids and sickness spit on that idea.
Yeah, they're like, that's adorable.
That was really sweet. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our little holiday party tonight. Mel and I are the company.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go out. Let's spend a night downtown. And then Mel woke up 2 days ago and was like, I'm feeling pretty bad.
Yeah, the whole concert week I was kind of just dealing with sinus stuff. And then, I woke up over the weekend just like... I'm weak in the knees.
And not like in a love way.
So, I've just been trying to recover.
Yeah.
You know?
We know the famous saying, you know, parents make plans, but children laugh at them.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, I mean.
We might. So, we last year we were in this bar and there was this jazz band playing Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we want to go back. That was amazing. And so we might still go watch them play.
It's up to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fully up
we're
to
just
you.
We're gonna see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were telling the patron last night mm-hmm. on our Zoom. I don't know why. I do not know why we all agreed to this, because we did, that you would go to Brooklyn in New York and or New Jersey the week before just Christmas. Like,
well, we did it because I, yeah.
It's just, it's an emotional, like, wait, because, like, the 22nd sure. is Monday, and that's when you get home, and you're just like, so we just have a very big thing. It's like if you had a, you know, a big project at work before Christmas, and that's what it is.
There's an emotional weight to the last flight home, mm-hmm. and then when you're also far away, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a busy, delayed time of travel.
It's not a quick trip.
Yeah, anyone who travels or has a loved one that travels for work, you know, there's a last trip of the year. Mm-hmm. And usually I can get home. So for in our line of work, it's just when the weekends fall.
Yeah.
And, well, and I stopped working New Year's. I don't do New Year's anymore.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. And yeah. But that came at mm-hmm. a trade-off, which means I will probably work the weekend closest to Christmas, as long as it's not like Christmas Eve. Well, it came close this year, so
yeah, and it does depend. It depends every year on the calendar where Christmas falls. Yeah. I think last year you were off the week before Christmas, but then you worked the weekend after Christmas.
Yeah, which I am working the weekend right after New Year's in Dallas this
year.
Yeah, but
so it's, you got to pick and choose. It's not perfect.
Chronologically, this has all happened already. It's the day after Christmas when you're listening to this. And if you follow me on Instagram, hopefully it's good news and I'm home. You
yep.
Home for the holidays. There's a way to it. And mm-hmm. then but seriously, is it truly the holidays until someone has a cough?
Yeah, it's just, there is so much to do in December, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why, like, you try to get ahead of it, of all the work, either the deadlines or the year-end stuff, the Christmas preparations, because you're waiting on somebody, mm-hmm. you know, to get sick. So my heart goes out to all the parents who have December birthdays. not all of my siblings, two of my siblings have multiple children who are born in December.
Listen.
It's the worst.
There's, you guys.
Worst.
There's one birthday in December. And it's Jesus. The kid is lucky to get a birthday party. The parent, the audacity as a parent.
I think my friend's birthday, it's the 26th.
Yeah.
Maybe the 27th. But she always, like, you're just like.
Well, was she born of a virgin? Did she die for the sins of the world, Melissa?
It's just not fair.
It's just not fair.
It's not fair to the December birthday.
You guys got to understand, if your mm-hmm. birthday's in December, Jesus is the oldest child, and he gets celebrated the most. I'm sorry. We're all younger children to Jesus. Sorry, December birthdays.
Yeah. It's just too much, unfortunately. You know?
Yeah, so. I mean, it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell mm-hmm. to be like, when is my birthday?
Our daughter has her birthday is the day before Halloween, which is wonderful.
Satan's birthday. So she gets extra celebrated.
People get pretty busy with Halloween parties and activities. It can be hard.
Yeah.
But it's not as hard as a December birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moment of silence, everybody, for the December birthday.
Mm-hmm. For the parents and
right
the kids.
There. You hear that sound? That's the sound of everyone celebrating your birthday.
Yay. Okay.
I'm
back to Christmas.
Yeah. I'm sorry that your parents got frisky in March.
They weren't planning well.
They did not. Or they were planning really well. And they're like, hey, this is going to save us some money. Oh, yeah. You're turning 7? Well, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So it's a tough sell for the December birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, It makes me, as I get older, I'm more and more grateful for the October birthday, because you realize that a December birthday and then a summer birthday when you're a kid screwed. So,
yeah.
Hey, we're celebrating you right now, December birthdays. Look at us right here in the eyes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, December birthday. This is all you're going to get. All right. Enjoy this episode, everybody. Bye. Bye.
Is that like a tray of Legos behind you, or is that a mat? Or
that is a carpet mat that we glued Lego to.
Okay.
So as we talk, I've got 3 world records for walking on Lego barefoot. So right now I do these gorilla walks where I show up into stores with that mat. I roll it out real quick. I walk across Lego. I pick it up and I leave. It's actually caused a lot of comments, because a lot of people think that that's just like printed. They're like, oh, that's not real Lego. It's just like printed.
So those are that's interesting. So you mentioned, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned in the email you had been on TV with Snoop, and you're like, okay, I could see how that happened. You're like, and I have 3 Guinness Book World Records. And my brain immediately thought that had to do with building Legos. But no, it's on walking on them.
Yeah, man. It's even crazier. Yep. Just so you guys have some info to kind of play off of, I set the record. Dude Perfect took the record from me. Lego took it from them. I took it back from Lego. and then I held it for a long time. And one of my friends, he has like, I think like 18 world records for walking barefoot now. He's actually the only human to walk the full distance of the Great Wall of China barefoot. And it took him like 2.5 weeks, and he ran the whole distance.
Wow.
But he took it, and then he felt bad, and me and a bunch of YouTubers got together, and we did a group world record, which we currently still hold. So, yeah, it was a crazy, crazy chain of events.
I love that, and I love there's a million follow-up questions. You're like, so how does one train? Does one just go, all right, well, I'll start with one Lego and just hold. Do you just go straight to stepping? Do you like, no, I just need to learn to do I jump? How do you train for Lego walking?
Yeah. Are we full interview right now? Or do
you want to
hold off and answer?
Yeah.
Yes. So the cool thing about that is you don't train, right? Like, this is something that hurts to the dickens. But as a parent, I feel like every parent has trained at least once or twice for this.
Yeah.
You know, walk into the bathroom in the middle of the night and you step on a Lego brick. So it was something that came about a long time ago. About 6 or 7 years ago, I ran a Facebook live show, and all about Lego. And one night a story came across my desk about a nonprofit in the UK that had a bunch of Lego sets stolen from their delivery van just before Christmas that was going to a children's hospital. And my daughter, who was 4 at the time, she was like, Dad, what can we do? And she came up with the idea of walking on Lego. And that first time I was like, oh, this is going to be nothing. I'll just do it. And I didn't train at all. I took that first step and I was like, oh, like instantly I was like, this is a dumb idea. And then after that second time, I just I started walking barefoot up and down our street, which is like really poorly maintained by the city. So it was just like this gravel-esque setup. And then for the third one, I was not prepared at all. The third one was a speed one. I ended up having over 1,600 micro abrasions on my feet at the end of that one, and had a piece of Lego go into my foot on that walk. I promised my family and my followers that long distance, no more. I'm done with that. Like short 10, 15, 20 feet. It's really nothing now for me, but those long distances are crazy.
It's a very funny, like, promise to have to tell your family.
Yeah.
You know, you're not.
I've made promises.
Not, yeah, you're not like a gambling addict or something. You're like, I bring. Oh, I know, honey. I got to prioritize you and the kids.
No more long distance.
No more
Lego
long
walking.
Distance.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with I won't spend more money on Lego, because you guys are sure. You know, Lego's an expensive habit.
It is. So. And if you get really good at it, you can make them really fast. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's over.
It adds up.
Yeah. My build time now, you know, I've built thousands upon thousands of sets with kids in children's hospitals, and you have a very truncated time frame to do that. So yeah, I'm very efficient at building now.
What do you enjoy more at this stage of your Lego building and with you and your kids, or are building sets or coming up with your own designs?
So I think it's kind of twofold, right? Like coming up with my own design, like I just did this like 15 minutes ago. This is like a mic stand for me to talk to you guys. Very rudimentary. But yeah, you know, it works, right? Doing things like that, like fulfills this like creative urge that I'm sure mm-hmm. you guys have as well. Like writing a joke, you get that instant gratification. And for me now, building a set is no longer something that fulfills a passion for me. The passion really comes because now when I build sets, I'm building with a hospitalized kid. I'm building with someone who needs that escape. And the real enjoyment from building a set is like seeing those smiles and those interactions with those
right,
kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you have, so this will come out right around in the holidays here. Did the fondness for Legos, bricks, building, were there Christmas mornings, holiday mornings that like memories immediately where it kind of all started or just kind of kept going? Or I'm sure the holidays and Legos and you have a long history.
Yeah. So like my earliest memory is me going to my grandmother's house and this massive box under the tree. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is it? And it was this Lego train set that like actually moved. Whoa, hang on one second.
Dynamic zoom.
Yeah, man. My AI was like, yo, that's an intense story.
So
funny. All right. Grandma.
But it was like this massive box of Lego. It was this beautiful train set that actually like moved around. And the coolest thing about that, when I turned like 35 and I had my daughter, my grandmother bought me the exact same set sealed in box for Christmas as like my first Father's Day gift. Yeah, so I still have that train set. It still brings back all these core memories. And really for me, like I grew up, I'm pigeon-toed. So I was in the doctor's office a lot doing physical therapy and things. And every time I went to the doctor's, my mom would take me to the toy store afterward. And I always got like a small Lego set. It got to the point where like I was faking sickness just to go to the toy store afterward. But yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, you have that toy that was like that key thing, whether it was like G.I. Joe's or Barbie or Lego. And then as you grow up, you know, that passion for that toy kind of gets reignited when you have kids. And actually, I saw a video that you did where your father bought you like this model car for you to build one Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were like, Dad, that was really for you. And
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of me and my daughter. My daughter doesn't really like Lego anymore because I bought her so much Lego. I was like, oh, she'll love this. And it just mm-hmm. was my passion, not hers.
Sure.
Yeah, that happens.
It does happen. Yeah. None of my girls are into, I do a lot of cross stitch and embroidery. They have zero interest
no,
in that. Yeah.
They do not take. Two of our kids did have a Lego stage. Joel, our oldest, he was, mm-hmm. who kind of has a natural kind of more like building kind of engineer type mind.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and then our daughter, Gloria, we thought had kind of, we had a funny moment with her recently where we thought she had kind of not lost interest in Legos, but I don't remember. Why did that set come home? Why did we have that?
So
she's a
you know,
sophomore in high school now.
You know how they did the Lego flowers?
Yeah, kind the of botanical a new, line.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of fairly new. So she got a set of those over Christmas and made like a Japanese flower, like an orchid or something.
Yeah.
And then I took her, she's learning to drive, and we stopped at the store to grab like some milk, and she asked if she could buy this Lego set, which is in the Christmas display. And I was like, okay, like,
sure.
But it's two little planters, you know, with like plants coming out. And she sat at the table. We told the Holderness family this. She sat at the table and talked to us for an hour mm-hmm. while
she
never
built does.
These two planters. And I was just cooking in the kitchen, but I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, she just monologued for an hour. And she's a very introverted person. So you know, and she loves to just kind of lounge in her room and stuff. So we were laughing that the Legos like brought all this dialogue and out of her.
Something with about,
like she got tricked into it. Yeah. You know?
Something about ADHD and doing something with your hands.
Yes.
Kind of opens up
a portal.
A portal. Yeah. It kind of opens up your brain.
Yeah, look, I know you can't really see it, but I've got goosebumps right now. Yeah. It's really kind of at the core of what I do in children's hospitals is, you know, our goal is to make them kind of forget where they are through that play. And the second they start building, your brain just kind of goes into this build mode. That's what I call it. And, you know, you kind of drop those inhibitions that you have, you drop those shields, and it really does open up things. And you know, that's one of my main goals is showing parents that, hey, Lego isn't just a toy you just hand over to your child. Like, sit down, let's build with them. And those conversations, like your daughter firsthand.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to happen.
So you were doing the thing with Lego and you kind of started your own, the Little Bricks charity. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So after that second world record, I really looked into why Fairy Bricks, that nonprofit I was talking about, why they started using Lego in children's hospitals. And it really is like the best toy. There's like replayability. There's the ability to kind of escape the bed and become a pirate or a doctor or whatever right there. And just time and time again. And when I did that, I looked in the US and there was no one doing this on like a grand scale. And I don't know if you can tell, but everything I do, I go big, right? Like I go crazy with. And I was like, I can do this. So I cashed out my retirement. I started Little Bricks Charity, and that was almost 6 years ago. And since then, we've delivered over 20,000 building sets to 62 children hospital campuses. And we've developed all kinds of amazing programs and tips and tricks for parents and hospital staff to kind of take that play experience to the next level, to really do what Lego did on its own for your daughter, just kind of open kids up and let conversations happen, especially in those settings. Conversations are really key to keeping people active and understanding.
Yeah.
So,
That's great.
Yeah. And now I travel like every month. I just got off of a 10-city tour. We delivered 2,500 of my new building sets to 10 different children's hospitals in 3 weeks. I drove over 6,000 miles, totaled my charity van, all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, it was nuts. I was in the middle of Texas and totaled the van and was like, oh gosh, what do we do now? So, but my community, they always come out, man. They helped me in such a huge way. And we're back up. We got another van and we're continuing to do what we do today.
Where do you live? That's awesome. That's so funny. Again, when you talk to somebody, you're like, I don't know anything. Where do you live?
Yeah. I'm originally from North Carolina, but now I live in Virginia, in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you have the four-year-old, you said?
So now she is 12.
Oh, did
I? I think when he started.
Oh, when he started year four. Yeah.
Yeah, she's almost a teenager. She is
the light of my life. We have an 11-year-old. Oh, man. So,
yeah, you guys are in the same boat.
Yeah.
How's life with the preteen?
You know, I have to say I don't think she's like many young kids. She's a very level-headed person. And she's like finally finding herself, where I wish it would have been Lego. It's actually art. So she's become this artist, and, I'm finding it, more and more challenging to relate to her, just because she's becoming a young woman and, you know, obviously it's an atmosphere that I've never been a part of, but, we found that connection through her art and just trying to kind of embrace that.
Yeah. What kind of art does she do?
She loves drawing. She's into this cartoon called The Amazing Digital Circus, and she draws that all day. I literally have hundreds of notebooks just filled with doodles and sketches, and I'm like, draw away. I'll keep buying them. You just keep filling them up.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's so, like, I mean, that's parenting in a nutshell of you're just like, man, I do not choose what you like. I do not choose your hobbies or interests. And maybe if I wouldn't have liked Lego, you would have liked Lego. Maybe if I didn't like baseball, you would have liked baseball or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But just a way to differentiate. But also, you know, it is, she's still creating. It kind of comes, you know, they're one of, drawing like building is, you know, you can do that. You can imitate, you can build a set, you can follow a pattern, you can trace, or you mm-hmm. can make your own thing altogether. So she is cut from the same cloth there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's got my creative soul and her mom's analytical mind, which is a great combination. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping one day she'll draw some of our books for us and draw
that'd be awesome.
Brixie and Fig. Actually, I'll zoom in here. I think it's
I do want to see that. More. I do want to see more of this room, though.
Yeah. That's my amazing studio space there. So Brixie and Fig here. Let me get my head out of the way. Brixie is actually based off my daughter, and Fig is based off of me. So it's my way of like getting a chance to interact with her when I'm on the road and just kind of keep her as close to me as I can. But I hope one day she'll be able to draw those or she'll want to draw, you know, in my books.
Yeah.
So,
why don't you tell us a little bit about your books? Like, what's going on with those?
Yeah, actually, give me one second. I'm going to grab one so I can show you up close if that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this right here is actually our book in bricks. So it comes with a story and three builds. So the first one is the magical bag of bricks. The second one is the great pyramid puzzle. And the thing that I try to do that I'm trying to differentiate myself from Lego is we're not building sets, we're building experiences, right? So it comes with a storybook and the storybook follows Brixie and Fig. And as you go along the story, you actually build something. Brixie finds this magical bag of bricks. And every time her brother, who's like this little brat, every time he gets in trouble, her bag of bricks magically fills back up with little bricks. Mm-hmm. And then she builds something to get them out of that trouble. And the kids build along with Brixie with what she's building to get her brother out of trouble. And it's this great way to kind of... one, talk about mental health subtly through the interactions of, you know, this brother and sister, but also a really cool way to educate people. One of my favorite things is in the back of each book is everything that you built. There's like a QR code and these fun facts. And the QR code takes you to a YouTube video where you can learn about a flashlight or skateboards. Yeah. And, you know, our goal is let's get a kid playing for days, not hours.
My question was, so we live in San Diego. Have you ventured out to Mecca here in Legoland? And your thoughts on Legoland?
So I've never been to California with the charity or with Legoland. However, a year and a half ago, we partnered with Legoland. They have a new one in New York, and we got to bring a bunch of medically complex kids out. Those parks are so insanely amazing. I mean, the mm-hmm. massive builds everywhere, the rides and how they incorporate them all. It's for me, like that is my Disneyland. Like when I finally get the $1 million mm-hmm. and they go, hey, you got $1 million. What are you going to do now? I'm going to be like, I'm going to Legoland. Like I'm not going to Disneyland. You know?
Are you sure? Do you say that wrong, sir? No, but I said it correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think they do have a couple other around the country that are like smaller and like less rides based. Mm-hmm. I think there's one in like Alabama or Atlanta or something.
I didn't know New York had one. New York mm-hmm. City or just in New York State?
Mm-hmm. It's in Goshen. It's upstate New York.
Upstate, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Those smaller ones are called Lego Adventure Centers. Those are usually like indoor parks and have got a lot more kind of build based mm-hmm. activities and stuff.
Yeah.
We've got a new one up here near DC and we took like 10 or 12 kids at that point on there, and they gave us a private tour and we got to see like the first 3D movie they made in a private theater. Oh, it was so awesome.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I said, like, I will always have this admiration, love, and I'll continue to be a fan of Lego because, you know, at the core of their company, they really do care about the community, which is just awesome.
Yeah. Love mm-hmm. that. So it got to be interesting. So I grew up loving comic books, but comic books were very kind of subculture. Like, a lot of kids read comic books, but they weren't the biggest thing in the world. You have probably had a similar thing with Legos, and that, like, Legos were around when we were kids, and all of us kind of had some Legos. Like, every kid had a couple Batman action figures or something like that. But then, I guess in large part because the Lego movie, Legos have, I would have, and obviously the tie-ins with, you know, all the different, the IPs, you know, all the different, yeah, like, Star, yeah, Wars, like, have been, well, it's become, you've watched the brand grow enormous. What were you going to say?
Well, no? I was going to say, our, you know, we have a 15-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter, and our daughter grew up right when the Lego Friends came out, which was kind of their,
and Joel had Ninjago.
Yeah.
Like, they just, mm-hmm, they're, it's
superhero.
It was, well, and then the Lego Ninjago movie and Lego Batman. It's just become gigantic.
So that was well timed because my daughter liked the houses and the boats and the tree houses that Lego Friends offered her.
Now, do you love that, or is part of you like,
a purist?
Well, now everybody likes it. It's not as cool as
you know. You know, growing up as a kid, I did kind of feel like an outlier, especially in high school, because I was still in Lego, and everybody, you know, was like, "Oh, look at this child! You know, how are you still playing with toys like that?" Mm-hmm. No, you know, I love that everybody's so passionate about it. I personally am not like a fan of where Lego has kind of gone, like away from the creative aspect and more toward the IP aspect. But it makes sense, you know, from a business standpoint, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we were kids, when we were growing up, Lego was actually floundering. They were getting ready to file bankruptcy in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Same with Marvel.
Yeah.
A lot of parallels here.
Yeah.
And, so to see them continue on and to make some truly amazing things, I'm always excited. Now that I own my own, you know, building set company, it does seem like Lego has blanketed the market. Every time I go to a brand and I go, "Hey, let's work together." Like, "Oh, well, we're already working with Lego, or we're about to do something with Lego." And I'm like, "Dang it." The great thing is they put out such a massive number of themes and sets every year now. I think this year they put out like 480 different sets in the year, which is insane. But it gives us at Little Bricks Charity like this wide variety to choose from, and it makes sure that every kid that we interact with has something that they're into as well, whether it's not Lego. Maybe that Star Wars is the way in, or you know, maybe Jurassic World or something like that is that way in to get that kid to build something they wouldn't normally.
So do you find the work that you're doing, what you're trying to do with your company, is a little more the purest work?
Just the highbrow stuff. Yeah,
exactly. We're trying to go back to like 1950s and 60s style builds. A little more imagination needed, not so refined and pure like Lego has now. So it's a... that creative aspect, I feel, is where kids really flourish. And I think now Lego handles a lot of that creativity for younger minds in the instructions. So there's not a lot of free play in the models that they create, which is where I saw that gap. And I'm like, look, we're going to design something that once you finish building it, you're going to want to take it apart and you're going to want to build something different on your own. Mm-hmm. So.
That makes sense. Andy had a question about something he saw on your website.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I saw that you're doing a special like Philifest USA build with making a jeepney. So because I'm Filipino and I saw that and I was like,
no,
I was like, yeah, why is that specific? I know you can't. Sorry, my camera switch. You can't see me, but I'll turn that around eventually. But
I have got
tell me
to
more
send
about that.
One. Yeah.
Oh, I would love that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know what a jeepney is,
I have no idea what a jeepney is. Yeah.
So jeepney is like straight Filipino culture. It is like a pure Filipino thing. After World War II, the U.S. left almost 500,000 jeeps in the Philippines. And the Filipino people are like really ingenuitive. And they were like, yo, what can we do with these? So they cut them in half, they stretched them, and they turned them into buses for public transportation.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Let's cut these in half.
I love that. Oh my gosh. And, these are awesome.
Yeah. Are you seeing them? They're every family owns, like these families own these businesses, and they paint them up so beautifully and crazy, and no one looks alike. So we worked with a local organization called PhilFest, and we designed something where it's a small Jeep. It opens up, and then you put the center on, and it becomes a jeepney. And it was our way of showing the younger culture or the younger kids their culture. And just, again, I feel like BRICS in general is just a way to break through that barrier of wanting to learn or, you know, wanting to talk. And that jeepney, that's exactly what it is. It's like this stepping stone to say, hey, this is part of our culture. Let's take a look at something else in our culture. So,
yeah. I mean, that is a really really fun customizable idea too, that like, oh, well now just cut it in half and open it up and then add whatever you want in the middle to make it what you want is obviously a clear homage to that. And that is very cool. That is very fun.
I love that. That's super cool and unique.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements. Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Do you feel like, I mean, I'll say between thinking about like Lego and specifically Minecraft, and like, I will say our Gen Z kids, and to a lesser one, maybe Gen Alpha as well, has really been given some opportunities to build worlds, you know, like those are two things that, I mean, we kind of had them. I was never good at Legos. I would just be like, I built another brick. My brain does not
look, it's a brick.
I can't figure any of this out. Even when I would build them with the kids, I would be like, if you remembered, I would always, though I had one trick that I would do, is I would get the flat blue thing and I would make a swimming pool, which means I would just build like a tiny little diving board, and then I would take their legs off and put them in the water. So just their top hat. That's the most that I could bring to the table.
I love that.
That's all I got. So there's no actual building here. But I will say, as kids, like, I mean, Minecraft was a great example of that, and that's the most popular property. And to some extent, Fortnite, they're building as well. Yeah. There is a lot of this like thing that, you know, our generation of adults are giving to our kids. And it's probably from brains like yours going like, no, go build stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. Minecraft is one of my favorite things to do with my daughter. She actually, it's the Lego that we play together. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the beautiful thing about video games in general or virtual building is the cost, right? Like it's a one-time fee to get Minecraft. I'm not having to like buy new blocks every time we play.
Those Fortnite skins though, those add up.
I hate to say, I think I've spent personally like $90 this month on Fortnite skins. I love Fortnite.
Well, you know, the Kim K skin is out. You know?
I've got her. you know, I think Lego's done a really beautiful thing by partnering up with Epic Games. And they've created a new way to play with the bricks, which in my hope, and not just for their company, but also for mine, is it kind of rekindles that spirit of the actual Lego brick.
Yeah.
The cool thing is all the sets or all the things you build in Fortnite, they've turned into Fortnite building sets in real life. So it is this kind of balance, I feel, that every parent's looking for between virtual and real life with kids nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say, you know, we gave my daughter an iPad at a very young age. I feel like it helped her a little bit with technology, but that core building is off iPad building is something I think every child needs these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably even more.
So. Can you speak? I can just imagine, like, in a hospital setting, you know, a kid isn't able to just get up and run around, right? So they're seated in a bed, but if they have a tray, they can read this book, they can build with a nurse, a family member, themselves. Can you speak to some of, like, the stories or kind of testimonials through your work and your sets?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Before I say this, I know this is a very lighthearted podcast, and I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm filled to the brink with passion, so there's nowhere for it to go. So, and what I talk about here for just a few minutes, it will get a little real. You know, what we do is so much more important to these families than anyone out there can realize. Until you've been through it, until you've sat in a hospital room weeks on end, months on end, more than a year, not knowing what tomorrow will bring, I don't think the average person understands what these sets do. There are two specific things, there are two specific stories that I always talk about and I always do. The first one was this young girl who was going through speech therapy. She had like a 5-word vocabulary, and we sat down with her and her grandfather, who is now her guardian, was saying, "Hey, look, she's not going to say much. Don't worry about it. Just do whatever you can." Within about 25 minutes, she said maybe 25 words. We built a dog, and she said dog. I asked her what a dog says, and she said rough. We took the dog and we made the legs a little taller, and we made it a horse. And I was like, "Can you say horse?" And she said horse. And while I'm sitting there building, her grandfather's just pouring tears out of his face. And when we finished, he walked out of the room and he gave me a big hug and he said, "Russ, you've done in 20 minutes what the nursing staff and what everyone else has been trying to do for the past 2 years hasn't been able to do, you know." And it's those connections with the children that just really fuel me back up. Like, I work a lot, I'm tired a lot, but gosh, it gives me the energy to keep going. And when we affect a life like that, and not just the child, but the mental relief, the wash of just satisfaction that you could see in this grandfather's eyes was just so amazing. And then the other one is the story of a young girl named Elsa up in Chicago, and her family was, she lived with this really rare disease called Rett syndrome. And I came up to see them. And now every time I go to Chicago, I visit her parents. But she was nonverbal, had very limited eyesight. And we were sitting there, and it, after kind of handling bricks together, like I'm, you know, just kind of rubbing her hands over the studs and the knobs, just so she can kind of feel what we're doing. We were sitting there, and I started to kind of like wave my hand like this next to her. And even though she had very limited eyesight, she ended up doing the exact same thing. It was this connection that we made. And, you know, it's not about the brick. It's not about the build, what we're trying to do. It's the connection, you know, and that's where real growth and real success for what we're trying to do happens. You know, and her family has become one of my biggest supporters. And, you know, my community is filled with thousands of stories like this, not just from me, but from parents that have shared them, and family members and friends. And, you know, I'm on a mission from God, as the Blue Brothers said, you know, and it's just a blessing, man.
Yeah.
It really, really is. So
that's great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked that question, Mel, because I was going to be like, my question was like, what's Snoop like?
I love it.
This is why it's what we got you on the podcast.
Both are good.
Both are good. His was probably better, though. Yours was probably better.
Yeah, hers was definitely better.
Well,
thank you, Russ. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was, well, wrapping up, where can people find you and get information on Little Breck's charity and how to get involved and to get some and all that kind of work?
Yeah, yeah. So you can give me a follow on all social media, Little Bricks Charity Guy. We do a lot over on TikTok especially. And then if they want to donate to Little Bricks Charity, every $10 we raise helps us get another set to another child. You can head over to littlebrickscharity.org. And then The Adventures of Brixie and Fig, you can find that at walmart.com. You can find it on Amazon. And soon, fingers crossed, at the beginning of the year, you'll be able to get it through TikTok shop as well.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. Great. There you go. Sweet. Well, thanks for doing this, man. It was nice to officially, I mean, not in person, but to meet you here, to virtually meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You as well. And I know you got a show coming up, I think, in Raleigh soon, man. I'm going to come out to that show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hit me up. We'll take care of some tickets for you.
Yeah, that's in January, I think. Or February.
Yeah, all our guests are in Raleigh. The Holdernesses are out there. You're out there. Mm-hmm. I like Raleigh. I mean, I've been very outspoken about my love for the Carolinas out here. But you're in Virginia, but you must be close to the Raleigh side.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm born and bred Carolina. I bleed Carolina blue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where my heart lays.
Oh, that's where the color for the hoodie comes from. A little
yeah, that's blue. Exactly it, man.
Carolina blue. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Nice to meet you. Great to chat with you. Yeah. It's great work you're doing. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you guys too. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey folks, thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for your support of this podcast. To Adam Bush,
Alex Foose and Sam Graham,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Brian and Amy Nagel,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibling,
Damaris Diaz-Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Rivera,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Christy Harrod,
Lori Amos,
Lauren and Nick Rachel,
Matt and Sam Slazdom,
Michelle Carlson,
Nick Cordell,
Naomi Walker,
Preston and Rachel Wilson,
Robert and Nellie Capin,
Scott Elliott,
Stephen Menya,
Yvette Williams,
Zachary and Tammy Moyle,
and
Tiffany Payne. Thanks, everybody.